Following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, text number 8, given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on August 21st, 1994, in Bombay, India.
I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A learned scholar who has studied the Vedas perfectly and has information from authorities like Lord Chaitanya, and who knows how to apply these teachings, can understand that Krishna is the origin of everything in both the material and spiritual worlds. And because he knows this perfectly, he becomes firmly fixed in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord. He can never be deviated by any amount of nonsensical commentaries or by fools. All Vedic literature agrees that Krishna is the source of Brahma, Shiva, and all other demigods. In the Atharva Veda it is said, Yo Brahmanam Vidadhati Puravam Yo Vai Vedams Chagana Gapayate Sma Krishna. It was Krishna who in the beginning instructed Brahma in Vedic knowledge and who disseminated Vedic knowledge in the past. Then it is again said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, desired to create living entities. From Narayan, Brahma was born. From Narayan, the patriarchs are also born. From Narayan, Indra is born. From Narayan, the 8 Vasus are born. From Narayan, the 11 Rudras are born. From Narayan, the 12 Adityas are born. Lord Krishna is the source of all generations, and he is called the most efficient cause of everything. He says that because everything is born of me, I am the original source of all. Everything is under me. No one is above me. There is no superior controller. No supreme controller other than Krishna. One who understands Krishna in such a way from a bona fide spiritual master and from Vedic literature, who engages all his energy in Krishna consciousness, becomes a truly learned man. Krishna is here explaining in this 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that he is the singular, exclusive source of everything that exists. Parashya Shaktir Vivadaiva Shruyate. That the Lord, through his diversified energies, he creates, preserves, maintains everything that exists within both the material and spiritual worlds. The Lord Sri Krishna, in his supreme abode of Goloka, really has nothing to do with creation of material existences. It is through his various expansions and incarnations that all of this work is done. The original personality of Godhead is Rasa Bihari. He only has one business, to engage loving pastimes with his devotees. But we should know that all the devotees of Krishna are all expansions of himself. There is the Vishnu Tattva, those expansions which are directly and personally Krishna himself, who assumes various forms in various places. For instance, Narayan. Narayan is the, and all of the various avatars, lila avatars, they are Krishna who have expanded as the self-same person, revealing various attributes and opulences of his Supreme Personality. And then there is Shakti Tattva. Srimati Radharani, in the world of Braj Bhumi, she is none different than Krishna. There is no difference between Radha and Krishna. But the two have expanded, the one personality has expanded into two forms for the sake of intimate loving exchanges. She is the supreme enjoyer, the supreme most enjoyed, and Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. But how can you enjoy if you have nothing to enjoy? So Srimati Radhika is the supreme absolute truth who has appeared to fulfill his every desire in the form of his pleasure potency. And there is also the Tathasti Shakti or Jiva Tattva, the infinitesimal part and parcels of Krishna who are eternally subordinate to Krishna and have free choice, independence, to either surrender in love to Krishna or to rebel against Krishna. Now this Jiva Tattva is always subordinate. Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahonam Yovedadati Kaman. But we have the choice of being subordinate to either Krishna's superior spiritual energy or his inferior material energy, which is conducted by the three modes of material nature. We are all servants of Krishna. If we serve him directly, then we can achieve eternal bliss, eternal knowledge, and awareness of our eternal existence. But if we serve him indirectly by serving his Maya Shakti, his external energy, then we become covered of our true identity, and we have to suffer the threefold miseries of material existence, miseries caused by one's own body and mind, miseries caused by other living beings, and miseries caused by natural disturbances, higher powers. And we are subjected to the repetition of birth and death and all of the sorrows that pertain to that. So, for the jiva soul, as well as for the liberated souls who are eternally anxious to engage in the Lord's service, the Lord manifests through an energy, through a principle, by which he engages all living beings in his loving service. And this is called Guru Tattva. It has been explained by great acharyas that the conditioned jivas in this world, that point where Krishna of the spiritual world embraces the jiva of this world, that is called Guru Tattva. That is Guru. Guru is that place of our meeting with Krishna. And that Guru Tattva is categorized by the previous acharyas as neither Vishnu Tattva or Jiva Tattva. It is in its own unique category. A Jiva soul who is an inspired devotee surrendering his lives to the previous acharyas, that soul, by the arrangement of previous acharyas, may be endowed with Guru Tattva, which is actually Krishna himself spreading his mercy and revealing himself. So the spiritual master, on one level, it is said, Sakshadharitvena samasta sastraya, that the spiritual master should be worshipped as good as Krishna. But on the other hand, an authorized spiritual master will never consider himself to be Krishna. He realizes that he is eternally the servant of Krishna. So it appears that there is a conflict. On one hand, a guru will close his ears and run away if anyone dares to call him God. But on the other hand, the disciples are being told to worship him as good as God. The acharyas explain that Guru Tattva is God, because Guru Tattva is personified and originates in Lord Balaram, who is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with all full opulences. Krishna, his original expansion, is Lord Balaram, and he is the Guru Tattva, because in the spiritual world, he is making all arrangements for all of the eternal souls to engage in the loving service of the Lord. The abode of Vrindavan is the expansion of Balaram. And everything in Vrindavan is ultimately working under his instruction. So therefore, the connection between all the liberated eternal associates of the Lord in the spiritual world, they only approach Krishna through the grace of Balaram or Srimati Radharani, depending on the particular ras, and their associates. So it is Balaram who in the spiritual world is facilitating devotion for all beings to Radha and Krishna. That is Guru Tattva. And in this material world, it is Lord Balaram himself in this form of Guru Tattva that empowers the spiritual masters to engage us in the loving service of the Lord and to reveal Krishna to us. Sometimes we hear that there's only one guru, Jagat Guru, or Krishna, specifically revealing himself through Balaram. And in this way, all gurus are of the true gurus, bona fide gurus, are simply empowered representatives of that tattva, of the original guru. So the spiritual master, he has that inspired side by which Krishna is directly speaking through him. And Krishna's mercy is directly coming to us through him. But on the other hand, such a person is a Vaishnava. He considers himself the servant of the servant of the servant. He considers himself to be nothing. And it is almost a contradiction, unless we understand carefully. Just like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he is the guru for all of us. He is Shiksha Guru for every Gaudiya Vaishnava. Because it is through him that the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have been revealed. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami prays that I am more degraded and more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. And I am lower than the worms in stool. And if anyone hears my name, he loses all piety. And if anyone speaks my name, he becomes sinful. This is what he thinks of himself. And he's being completely honest. And yet, he is giving us the highest truths, and he's expecting us to accept them and surrender to what he says. He explains, because it is the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it is the order of Lord Nityananda Balaram that I write this Chaitanya Charitamrita. I am not writing. Whatever words are coming from my pen are being spoken by Rupa and Sanatan and Raghunath Das and by Lord Nityananda Balaram himself and by the source of all, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I am simply delivering their message as they are inspiring me to speak. So from his side as guru, he is revealing the highest truths to us. And he is engaging us in the service of the Lord. But in his personal side as a Vaishnava, he's saying, keep away from me, because if you even speak my name, you will become sinful. But if you do what I say, you will go back to Godhead. But of course, there was no difference between what he did and what he said. Anacharya is one who teaches by his words, but his example in life must be non-different than his words. And where we see that example, and where we hear those words, we are being embraced by Krishna. We are making that connection with Krishna through the Guru Tattva. So we can understand the great importance of Lord Balaram and his divine associates or his representatives. For a Vaishnava who is allowing this mercy to flow into the world through him, that Vaishnava must, by nature, be very humble, as Krishnadas Kaviraj, or as Srila Prabhupada and the other great acharyas have exhibited. Because the more they feel the greatness of Krishna flowing through them, the more as jivatmas who are insignificantly small in comparison to this power flowing to them. They feel themselves that much more insignificant, and they must give all credit to Krishna. They must give all credit to the connection that they have with Krishna, which means through their spiritual master. When Srila Prabhupada came to this world and was preaching the glories of Lord Sri Chaitanya's mercy, he would remind us often that I am simply repeating the words of my spiritual master. It is his mercy that I am giving to you. This, in summary, is the proper understanding of Guru Tattva. Sometimes, in such a great soul, there may be particular personal characteristics of that soul which we may like or we may not like. Because as a Vaishnava, everyone has their own unique personal characteristics. And as Vaishnava, everyone has their unique loving relationship with Krishna, even in the most exalted stages. But the message that is coming through them is the truth that ultimately we must surrender to. Krishna consciousness is a process of personalism. In Vaishnava philosophy, everything is personal. There is nothing impersonal. The impersonalists, their conclusion is that ultimately everything is impersonal. And all personal conception is a temporary illusion. But the Vaishnava theology, which is the highest understanding of the Vedic literatures, teach us that everything is personal. Even the impersonal Brahma Jyoti is made up of spiritual sparks that are all personal living entities. And that whole spiritual atmosphere of the Paravyoma, of Brahma Jyoti, is the personal rays emanating from the body of Krishna. And every jivatma, natveva ham jatu nasam natvam name janadipa, nachaiva nabhavishyama saravivayama taparam. We are all eternally individuals, personalities. And every personality, by Krishna's infinite glory, is unique. There are no two jivatmas alike. There are no two nitya siddhas of the spiritual world alike. This is the greatness of Krishna. How he can expand himself in innumerable, unlimited forms, and yet each one is unique. There are basic categories in which various rasas of the spiritual world come under. But within that, every living entity has his own specific personal relationship with Krishna as a servant of the servant of the servant. And each being has his own specific traits. We see this even in this material world. On the material level of matter, Krishna has created so many billions of human beings on this earth, and there are no two that look the same. Even so-called identical twins, there are always some differences. course, in Bombay, I don't know if you ever see snow, but in the Northlands, when it snows, one snowstorm, there are just trillions of snowflakes that fall. And scientists have examined under microscopes that there has never been two snowflakes that have fallen that have been the same. They are all uniquely, individually designed by material nature. There are no two blades of grass that are exactly identical. There are no two ants or insects that look just the same. And this is material nature, which is endlessly mutable, limited, and temporary. And what incredible opulence Krishna has as the creator to create so much, and everything is unique. There are not two atoms, molecules, electrons, or neutrons that have exactly the same qualities as one another. They are all unique. What to speak of in the spiritual world, where everything is unlimited, infinite? There is infinite variegatedness. There is, and within that variegatedness, everything is personal. Everything is a personality. And in the spiritual world, every personality is completely surrendering one's free will in an expression of love for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. That is Vaikuntha. And Goloka is that platform of consciousness wherein all of the innumerable living beings are loving Krishna and worshiping Krishna in such intimacy that the power of their prema makes them forget that he's even God. It becomes so intimate that he is my friend, or he is my child, or he is my lover. So the great Vaishnavas, they have their personalities. They have their characteristics. And oftentimes their personalities and characteristics very much attract or charm our hearts to become more and more attached to Krishna. And those things, what we call vapu, are helpful in our spiritual progress. But more essential and important than that is the vani. The vani is that guru tattva, that absolute manifestation of Krishna himself that is coming through them, through the instructions, and through the example that they set. And this is unchangeable. Evam parampara praptam idam rajashayavadu. It is this unchanging message, this undiverted siddhanta that the spiritual master is giving us. And through that, we are being connected to Krishna. And through that service to that truth, we become purified and elevated into Krishna consciousness. So we can understand the most merciful and exalted position of Lord Balaramji in our own lives, because it is specifically his mercy of Guru Tattva that is giving us the facility and the chance to purify ourselves and return to our original spiritual position and go back home, back to Godhead. It is specifically by His causeless mercy coming through His divine representatives in Parampara that give us a chance to be relieved from the endless struggles and sufferings of material existence, and there is no other hope. One cannot approach Krishna except through Guru Tattva, except through Balaram. At the time of the appearance of Lord Sri Ramchandra, Lord Balaram appeared as his younger brother, Lakshman. And there's a nice story of how in Kishkindha Kshetra, Lord Sri Ramchandra met Sugriva and made alliance that his armies would help Ramchandra to find Sita and fight the Rakshasa armies of Ravana. Within Sugriva's army were so many very, very great, powerful personalities. Most of them were monkeys. Hanumanji. Haribo. And there was also Angada, Jambavan, Mahinda. And we read in Ramayana, one of the great devotees of Lord Ram, who was also risking his life to fight against Ravana's soldiers, was a gorilla, a monkey named Vivida. There's an interesting story about Vivida gorilla. You see, Vivida had strong faith in Lord Sri Ramchandra. And he was willing to fight and risk his life for his sake. And he did. But he didn't have faith in Lakshman. In fact, his mind was critical of Lakshman. He didn't like him. But you cannot approach Ram except through Lakshman. So although he thought he had a relationship, his relationship was actually offensive. There's a similar story in Chaitanya Charitamrita before I come back to this one. I hope I don't confuse you when I go like this. Do I confuse? Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in his brother's home, there was a pujari who was worshipping the deity. But when Meenaketana Ramdas, who was an associate of Lord Nityananda, appeared, he showed him no respect. Rajendra Nandana Jay Shachi Shuta Hoilo Se Balarama Hoilo Nitai. That Balaram appeared in Ram's Leela as Lakshman and as in Gauranga Mahaprabhu's Leela as Nityananda Prabhu, the original Guru. Now, those who are in proper standing, associating or representing Guru, they are as good as Guru. And they must be offered the same type of respect. If you offend the representative of Guru, you offend Guru. If you offend Guru, you offend Balaram and Krishna. So Meenaketana Ramdas was the servant of the servant of the Lord. He was Nityananda's friend. and this pujari was so busy worshipping Krishna that he did not offer respects to Guru Tattva. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami became very angry. And he had an argument with his brother. And his brother told him that I have complete faith in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but I have no faith in this Nityananda Prabhu. Look at the types of things he does. And Kaviraj Goswami, he explained, you cannot have faith in Lord Chaitanya without Nityananda. You cannot approach Mahaprabhu without Guru. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally proclaimed this. In the Chaitanya Bhagavad, he explains that anyone who offends Lord Nityananda is condemned by me. Mahaprabhu said, without approaching Nityananda, without approaching Guru Tattva, his representatives, no one can approach me. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he tried for so many long years to get the association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when was he finally successful? When he pleasingly served Lord Nityananda and received his blessings. And Raghunath Das Goswamiji himself said, without receiving your blessings, without pleasing and satisfying you and serving your order, no one can approach Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So Dvivida, he was such an apparent great devotee of Ram, but he was critical of Lakshman. He found faults in Lakshman. He was not submissive to Lakshman. And therefore, just as Kaviraj Goswami's brother fell down due to his offense against Nityananda Prabhu, similarly, Dvivida Gorilla fell down from his devotion because of his offense against Guru. But the Lord is so kind, he wanted to rectify him. So, in the next incarnation, where Ram appeared in the form of Krishna, and Lakshman appeared in the form of Balaram, Dvivida hated both Krishna and Balaram. If you displease Guru, Krishna withdraws his mercy, and you lose all your affection and attraction that you once thought you had for him. And even in this world, we have seen it in our own lives again and again. So, naturally, if we do not have that protection, we fall prey to evil association. So he became an associate of Bhomasura. Dvivida was good friends. And Bhomasura, such a rascal demon, he was so corrupt that with his great powers he would conquer kingdoms, and then he would steal all the princesses of the kings he would defeat, and he had 16,000 princesses held captive in his palace. And ultimately Krishna, he came to the kingdom of Bhomasura, and there was a very, very great war between them. And of course, Krishna killed Bhomasura and awarded him liberation from his demoniac ways. And then the 16,000 queens, they said, Krishna, you know, we are all princesses. And every princess wants to get married. So we want to have nice husband. But in this culture of ours, no prince will marry a woman who has been under the care of any other man except her father. and we have been living with Bhaumasura, so no one will marry us except you. We are your devotees, and we are surrendering our lives to you. Please, we want to serve you eternally. Please be our husband. So Krishna, who is so lovingly disposed toward his devotees, he married all 16,100 of the princesses. And there was a very wonderful wedding ceremony. And he gave each of them their own beautiful palaces, each one more wonderful than Indra, the king of heaven's own abode. 16,108 queens. So Dvivida became very angry that Krishna, he killed my best friend Bhaumasura, and I will teach him a good lesson. I will get revenge. So he began to commit all sorts of atrocities for humanity in general. Because Krishna is Bhakta Vatsal. Krishna is always so compassionately disposed toward all living beings. It pains his heart when he sees his children suffering. Now, Dvivida had such power and strength. The same hands and the same strength that fought like anything to kill Ravana were now performing the same type of activities as Ravana himself. God gave him the power, and because of his offense to Guru, he was misusing all that power. And he took his hands and he would go to the ocean and he would begin to stir his hands in the water of the ocean. And he had such power that on all four sides, the ocean started having huge waves and overflowing. The ocean is just a block away. You go and see how much you can affect. You can even cause anxiety to one person on Chopati Beach. It will be a miracle. But he was just... entire nations were being totally disturbed by his stirring of the oceans. And he would set fires in all directions, to agricultural fields, to mercantile communities. And in this way, he would create famine. He would set fire to the fields. There was no food for anyone to eat. And no one could stop him because he was so egoistic and so powerful. And he would, where the Brahmins were performing yajna, he couldn't tolerate it. He would go to that area and he would pass stool and urine all over the yajnashala and just contaminate it in every possible way. And he would go to aristocratic people's homes and he would kidnap them and plunder their riches. And often he would beat them and he would take their daughters and he would rape them. Such a terrible demon. And please remember, this was the same Shakti that he was using with such devotion in the service of Ram. How we can misuse our God-given intelligence, our God-given abilities. One day, Dvivida, he was especially terrorizing the towns and the villages that were just adjacent or close by to Dwarka, because he knew that's where Krishna and Balaram lived, and he hated them. So one day he heard on the Raivataka mountain beautiful music of singing and dancing. So he wanted to cause disturbance there. So he went on that mountain. And there, Lord Balaram himself, the original spiritual master, who he had offended in his previous, in his same life, but in the Lord's previous leela, Balaram was there, and he was with so many of his beautiful girlfriends, and they were dancing together, and they were singing together, and the whole atmosphere was so charming, beautiful, fragrant flowers, and nice breezes. And they were drinking Lord Balaram's Varuni beverage. The Varuni beverage is a celestial drink that increases one's ecstasy to the point of intoxication. But it is not like the intoxications of this world, which just dull your mind and senses and put you deeper into Maya. Varuni is actually appears personally in the form of this sweet elixir just to give pleasure to Lord Baladev. So they were all so much intoxicated with this Varuni beverage, and they were dancing and singing together. Completely spiritual interrelations of love with no tinge of material desire. But Vivida, he could not tolerate seeing such happiness, because the demoniac class of people are so envious. They hate to see other people happy. They only want to be happy themselves at anyone's cost. So what he started to do is he started jumping on the trees. And he started breaking the branches and jumping here and there. And when the ladies, when they saw him, he started moving his eyebrows and his eyes and making all sorts of very ridiculous gestures to them. And he was making these loud sounds as he was breaking the branches, "Kila, Kila." And the young girls, they thought it was funny. They were laughing. Although he was actually trying to insult them, being very innocent and simple in heart. In fact, Srila Prabhupada says, young girls by nature, they just like to laugh at everything. So they were laughing. But then Davida started exposing the lower parts of his body to these young girls. And then it was becoming very disgusting. And then he went up to Balaram and his girlfriends and started stripping their clothes off. And then, the last draw, he stole Balaram's Varuni beverage and started drinking it. Then Lord Balaramji began to consider that he must be punished. Not only is he offending my devotees, but he has caused so many atrocities to all the villages and towns and cities all around. But deep down internally, he also knew that this is the same Vivida who offended me when I was Lakshman, and I have to purify him from his mistaken mentality. So Balaram picked up a stone and he threw it at Dvivida. But Dvivida was a great warrior. He dodged the stone. And then he understood that he wants to punish me, but I will destroy him. So he picked up a big, big tree, and he trimmed all the branches off the tree, and he went to strike Balaram on the head. And Baladev took his club and effortlessly made the tree into millions of tiny pieces. And then he picked up another tree. And he went to attack Balaram with it. And again, Lord Balaramji, he took his club and made the tree into nothing. And this happened again and again and again until the entire forest in all directions, as far as the eyes could see, there was not a single tree. Such determination. Then he started going to the mountains and getting large boulders, slabs of stone, and he started hurling them at Balaramji. And Balaram would take his club and smash them all to pieces until there was not a single stone left on any of the mountains. And when there was no other weapons for Dvivida to fight with, he personally ran toward Balaram, and with his mighty, powerful fists, the same ones that could cause tidal waves in the ocean just by mixing the waters, he began with all of his strength and force to pound upon the chest of Sri Baladev. But Balaramji, he is the source of all spiritual strength. He is the foundation of faith for all devotees. He was not shaken by any of the blows of Dvivida. We should know that if we are strongly connected with faith and devotion to Lord Balaram through the Guru Tattva, through our spiritual master, then all of the powers of Maya and all demoniac influences can pound upon us, but we will remain unshaken. After all, in his mere expansion as Ananta Shesha, he is holding all the universes like little jewels on his hood. Balaram is the foundation and stability of all devotees. In fact, of the entire material existence. So what could Vivida's massive beatings upon him do? He was unshaken and unmoved. But Balaramji was thinking, in my role as a Kshatriya, if someone attacks me with no weapon, I cannot use weapon. He's attacking me with his fists. So Balaramji took his beautiful fist, which is softer than a lotus for those devotees who approach him, but harder than a thunderbolt for those who rebel against him. And he beat Dvivida with his fist upon his collarbone. And Dvivida, his eyes began to roll in his head, and he fell to the ground, vomiting blood, passing stool and urine simultaneously. And his soul departed from his body. Sri Balaramji ki! Harivo. In this way, Balaram's kindness was, he rectified this demon the only way the demon could be rectified. He was liberated from all of his envy by the crushing blows of Balaram. Adio! Similarly, we should know that when his representative, the spiritual master, chastises us, those hard blows are meant to liberate us from the entanglement of our material illusions and our ego. It is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam the wonderful story of how Lord Balaram appeared within this world at the end part of the Dwapar Yuga. Kamsa imprisoned Devaki and Vasudev because he had heard the threat that the eighth son of his sister would be the cause of his death. Devaki and Vasudev, they gave birth to six children. And Kamsa killed each one of them just after their birth. Such atrocities. Srila Prabhupada explains that Hiranyakashipu had Prahlad as his son, but yet because he saw Prahlad as a threat to his sense gratification, he was willing to kill his own son. And when Kamsa saw that Devaki was indirectly a threat to his sense gratification, he was willing to kill his own sister. This is to the extent that the demoniac consciousness can degrade a man's soul. So in order to prepare the way for his divine descent into this world, the first expansion of Sri Krishna Balaram appeared in the womb of Devaki. And when Devaki was just recently impregnated by divine arrangement with Lord Balaram, Krishna called for his Yogamaya potency. And he instructed her that you should transfer Baladev, who is none other than Shesha, the support of the whole universe, he should be transferred to the womb of Rohini. Rohini was also a wife of Vasudev. Vasudev had several wives, as it was fitting for a Kshatriya at the time. But Rohini, because her husband was in prison, she was put under the care and the protection of Nanda Maharaj, who was the best, most intimate, loving friend of Vasudev, and who was the leader, the king of a wonderful cowherd community in Braja, Gokul. So Krishna told her, you transform Baladev into the womb of Rohini, and then you appear in the womb of Yashoda. So in this way, when Rohini gave birth to this most beautiful, illustrious, and wonderful child, all the residents of Gokul had a wonderful, wonderful festival to honor. It is not explained that there was so much a festival of ceremony. Maybe not, that is not explained. But their hearts were festive to see this beautiful child born of Rohini. It is explained by the Acharyas, another detail to this particular pastime. The previous Acharyas explain that just as Krishna never takes a step out of Vrindavan in his original form, his expansion forms leave Vrindavan. Similarly, Balaram, in his original form, never takes a step out of Vrindavan. So it is explained that Balaram simultaneously appeared in the womb of Rohini and in the womb of Devaki. His original personality appeared in the womb of Rohini while she was in Gokul, and his expansion appeared in the womb of Devaki. And upon the order of Yogamaya, she transferred the expansion of Balaram from the womb of Rohini, and that form merged into the original Balaram, who was already present in the womb of Rohini. So actually, Balaram was Rohini Nandan. He was the son of Rohini directly, as well as the son of Devaki. And then, of course, Krishna, it is understood that he took birth 8 days later. And that we will discuss on Janmashtami. But anyways, Garga Muni was sent by Vasudev to Brajbhumi, to Gokul, to perform the name-giving ceremony for his two sons. And when Garga Rishi saw the beautiful form of Shankarish, of the beautiful son of Rohini, he explained that this personality is the shelter and the support of the entire creation. Therefore, his name should be Shankarshan. And also, he is the possessor of divine spiritual strength. Therefore, he will also be called Baladev. And because he takes such great joy and pleasure in revealing his supreme strength, his name will be Balaram. So these three principal names were given to him: Baladev, Balaram, Shankarshan. And it is explained how Krishna and Balaram, as little babies, they grew up together in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and Rohini at the Nanda Bhavan in Gokul Mahavan. And Srila Prabhupada explains that there is no difference between Krishna and Balaram except one. They both possess the same powers, the same complete opulences, which are not to be seen in any other incarnation or expansion of the Lord. The only difference is that Krishna has a complexion which is very dark blue, sweetly blue, like a newly formed monsoon rain cloud. And Balaram, his complexion is so pure and beautifully white, like a newly formed spring cloud. And if we had so many days, we can all discuss the wonderful pastimes exchanged between Krishna and Balaram. Balaram, he served Krishna in every one of the five primary rasas. In Shantaras, the loving relationship of neutrality, Balaram appeared as Goloka, and he appears as the Lord's crown and as his jewelry. He actually expands himself as the Lord's shoes, as the Lord's bed, as his seat. In this way, Balaramji is always taking the most humble position of serving his eternal brother, Krishna, in Santaras. As Dasyaras, sometimes he is fanning Krishna. Sometimes he is bringing prasad to Krishna. He acts as Krishna's most loving, intimate, and menial servant. In Sakyaras, the rasa of friendship, Balaram is one of the cowherd boys. And with Krishna, sometimes they dance, and sometimes they play. Sometimes they play hide and seek with each other. And at other times, they take the amalaki fruit and they play catch, throwing it amongst one another. And sometimes, Prabhupada says, they played blind man's bluff. And other times they would pretend to be different animals of Vrindavan. They would, just for Krishna's pleasure, they would pretend to call like the peacocks and jump like the monkeys and the frogs and the cuckoos. And Krishna would also, for their pleasure, he would sometimes move his neck like a peacock in such a wonderful way that all his friends would clap, and because he looked so much like peacocks. Well done, Krishna, well done. In this way, sometimes they would wrestle one another, and sometimes they would steal the prasad, the lunch, from one cowherd boy, and they would throw it to another and another and another. And sometimes they would eat off each other's plates. But all the while they would be singing and dancing and just taking care of the calves and the cows of Braja. And Balaram, in this most intimately friendly relationship, served the Lord in Sakyaras. But because he was the elder brother of Krishna, oftentimes he was very parental, and he loved him and served him like a parent, like the representative of Yashoda and Nanda. Sometimes when Krishna would do mischievous things, Balaram would say, "No, Krishna, this you cannot do." Just like the time when Balaram and his friends told Yashoda, "Krishna ate dirt." "What is this, Krishna ate dirt?" Mother Yashoda said, "Why you ate dirt?" "No, no, I didn't do it, I didn't do it." Balaram is making these things up. It is not true. But out of his parental love, sometimes Balaram would be always looking after Krishna and trying to protect him. And in the conjugal ras, madhurya ras, Balaram did not want to create embarrassment, because Krishna looked at Balaram like elder brother. And when Krishna would have his lila with the gopis, sometimes they were very intimate in their pure, unalloyed love. And to have your elder brother there, it's embarrassing. So therefore, Balaram would never personally come to associate in Krishna's lila of conjugal ras. So he himself personally became the younger sister of Srimati Radharani, Ananga Manjari, who was constantly, as a Manjari, in the most intimate conjugal loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. Balaram, as Ananga Manjari, was right there, always engaging in the loving service of Radha and Krishna. So in this way, Balaram, alone, is serving Krishna in all five rasas, purely and perfectly, eternally. And that same Lord Balaramji appeared in this age of Kali Yuga in a form that is more magnanimous, more illustrious and merciful than in his original form of Balaram. He appeared as Lord Nityananda. If Jagai and Madhai would have appeared before Balaram in Dwapar Yuga, you know that his club or his plow would have destroyed them and sent them to some liberated state in the Brahmajyoti. The Vidya Gorilla was beating him with fists and he punched him and he died. Pralambasura was trying to take him away after disguising himself as a cowherd boy, and Balaram punched him on the head and he died. Denukasura, who appeared as an ass, started kicking Balaram vehemently in the chest with his massive hooves. And Balaram picked him up and spun him around and threw him into the trees, and he died. And Balvala, we were discussing him this morning, how he appeared black like a mountain, and Balaram hooked him with his plow, dragged him down from the sky, and beat him with his club, and he died. And Romaharshan Sutta, who was too proud, sitting on a Vyasasan when he wasn't humble and respective to great personalities. So Balaram took as a weapon a piece of grass and touched him, and he died. In this way, Balaram killed so many asuras. But Jagai and Madhai were more offensive than any of them. They were blaspheming him. They were chasing after him. They struck him with an earthen pot to kill him. They even made him bleed. But Balaram, in his divine form of Nityananda Prabhu, he forgave them. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to kill, he said, no, not this incarnation. In our previous incarnation, we killed all these demons and we sent them to some liberated state. But in this incarnation, we give them love of God. And by Nityananda Prabhu's prayers and by his forgiveness, by his love, he gave them the holy name. And when Jagai and Madhai received that holy name from Balaram Nityananda Prabhu, they became ecstatic devotees, eternal associates of the Lord. So today it is our most wonderful fortune to celebrate the appearance of Lord Balaramji. We should understand his supreme munificent position in our lives. We should understand very carefully the Guru Tattva, of whom he is the origin, and how to receive his mercy by faithfully serving the instructions of our spiritual master and faithfully serving those great Vaishnav devotees of the Lord who are giving their lives in the parampara of his loving service. Thank you very much. Shri Balaramji ki. And what is the best way we can serve? By being very humble like a blade of grass and chanting the holy names. Levels of loud. There is loud, there is louder, and there is loudest. So we are gradually progressing. Now let us loudest. Translate? Huh? After Sri Kardama Muniji's summary translation, there will be Archie. Because we had Abhishek and then the offerings, the wonderful Archie ceremony for Balaram's appearance will be taking place in just a few minutes. So everyone, please offer Balaramji the best of your enthusiastic devotion on this day during his beautiful aarti.
Hare Krishna. To aaj ke pravachan mein Maharaj ne Gita ke 10th adhyay se is shlok mein bataya ki jahan par Bhagwan Shri Krishna batate hain ki ve hi sare adhyatmik aur bhautik jagaton ke srot hain aur sab kuch unhi se aata hai aur jo buddhiman vyakti jante hain wo unki seva mein purn roop se leen ho jate hain. तो भगवान की अनेक शक्तियां हैं, विशेषतः भगवान के अनेक विस्तारित स्वरूप हैं जिसमें विष्णु तत्व जैसे कि नारायण, अनेक लीला अवतार वगैरह होते हैं, शक्ति तत्व जो कि श्रीमती राधा रानी और उनके अनेक विस्तारित गोपियां हैं, और जीव तत्व जो है जो कि भगवान के छोटे से अंश हैं जिनको ये स्वतंत्रता होती है कि या तो वो भगवान को समर्पण कर सकते हैं या वो भगवान से विरोध कर सकते हैं. तो ये जो जीव तत्व है वो भगवान की एक शक्ति है, और ये गुरु तत्व के बारे में बताया गया आज के प्रवचन में कि ये गुरु तत्व जो है ये जीव का और कृष्ण का जो मिलन का स्थान है वो गुरु तत्व है. गुरु तत्व वास्तव में न विष्णु तत्व है और न ही जीव तत्व है. एक जीव जो कि पूर्ण रूप से पिछले आचार्यों की सेवा में लग जाता है, उनको समर्पित कर देता है, उसके हृदय में ये गुरु तत्व प्रकट होता है, और जो कि भगवान श्री कृष्ण की ही कृपा है जो कि अपने नाम प्रचार के लिए उपयोग हो सकती है. एक दृष्टि देखने जाएँ तो गुरु को भगवान के समान आदर दिया जाता है, और दूसरी दृष्टि से गुरु कभी अपने आप को श्री कृष्ण के बराबर नहीं मानते. तो गुरु तत्व जो है वो बलराम जी हैं जो कि आध्यात्मिक जगत में भगवान की सेवा के लिए विभिन्न प्रकार से इंतज़ाम करते रहते हैं. तो हमें समझना है कि जो गुरु होते हैं वो अपने आप को तो बहुत ही निम्नतम मानते हैं, लेकिन फिर भी वो ये बताते हैं कि अगर आप जो मैं बता रहा हूँ वो आप करेंगे तो आप भगवान के धाम को प्राप्त कर सकते हैं, जैसे कि कृष्णदास कविराज कहते थे. श्रील प्रभुपाद जी भी कहते थे कि मेरी एक ही योग्यता है कि मैं जो कह रहा हूँ वो सिर्फ अपने गुरु महाराज की वाणी को दोहरा रहा हूँ. तो आध्यात्मिक जगत में सब कुछ व्यक्तिगत रूप होता है, कोई भी निर्विशेष नहीं होता है. हम देखते हैं कि कोई दो जीव भी एक नहीं होते, यहाँ तक कि भौतिक तत्वों में भी कोई दो जो घास के तिनके होते हैं वो भी एक नहीं होते. तो जब भौतिक प्रकृति में इतनी विविधता है तो आप सोच सकते हैं कि आध्यात्मिक जगत में कितनी विविधता होगी जहाँ पर सब कुछ जो है व्यक्तिगत रूप में बताया जाता है. तो ये जो गुरु तत्व जो है जो वैष्णव के द्वारा प्रकट हो रहा है वो हमें भक्ति में प्रगति करने के लिए सहायता करता है. लेकिन उसके बापू से ज़्यादा महत्वपूर्ण है वाणी, जो कि कभी बदलती नहीं है और जो कि सब में एक ही होती है। तो हम श्री कृष्ण को सिर्फ गुरु तत्व यानी बलराम जी के द्वारा ही प्राप्त कर सकते हैं। रामचंद्र जी की लीला में ऐसा प्रसंग आता है कि जब भगवान श्री रामचंद्र किष्किंधा क्षेत्र में सुग्रीव से मित्रता करते हैं तो उनमें अनेक उनके जो वानर सहायक होते हैं जैसे हनुमान, जांबवंत, मैनंद, तो उसमें एक गुरुला होता है, इसका नाम द्विविध होता है। तो हालांकि उसे भगवान राम में बहुत श्रद्धा होती है परंतु वो भगवान लक्ष्मण के प्रति अपराध करता है। श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत में भी ऐसा प्रसंग आता है कि जब कृष्णदास कविराज के भाई जो होते हैं वो कहते हैं कि मुझे चैतन्य महाप्रभु में श्रद्धा है लेकिन नित्यानंद प्रभु में नहीं है, तो इस अपराध के कारण जो है उन्हें फल भुगतना पड़ता है। तो द्विविध जो कि गोरिल्ला होते हैं वो अपनी भक्ति से च्युत हो जाते हैं और तत्पश्चात श्री कृष्ण लीला में वे दोनों कृष्ण और बलराम दोनों के विरोधी बन जाते हैं और भौमासुर के मित्र बन जाते हैं। भगवान श्री कृष्ण जब भौमासुर का वध करके 16,100 पत्नियों से विवाह करते हैं तो द्विविध गोरिल्ला जो है वो भगवान के जो द्वारका नगरी के पास अनेक रूप से विध्वंस पैदा करने लगता है, अनेक लोगों को मारने लग जाता है, यज्ञशाला में मल मूत्र वगैरह फेंकने लगता है और इस तरह से जो है वो भगवान को उत्साहने का प्रयास करता है। और एक बार जब बलराम जी रैवत पर्वत के पास लीला कर रहे होते हैं तब वो वहाँ आकर जो बलराम जी के जो गोपियाँ होती हैं उनको बहुत ही खराब व्यवहार करने लगता है और भगवान बलराम जी की वारुणी को ले जाता है। तो बलराम जी सोचते हैं कि देखो इसने मेरे भक्तों का भी अपराध किया है और ये बहुत अत्याचार कर रहा है। तो बलराम जी और द्विविध में युद्ध होता है और अंततः बलराम जी क्योंकि सब शक्ति के स्रोत हैं तो बड़ी आसानी से उसका वध कर देते हैं। बलराम जी का अवतार कैसे हुआ है इसके बारे में बताया जाता है कि जब कंस को पता चला कि देवकी का 8वां पुत्र मेरे वध का कारण होगा तो उसने दोनों को गिरफ्तार कर दिया। वसुदेव जी की दो पत्नी रोहिणी और देवकी, वो उनमें से रोहिणी जो है वो नंद महाराज के यहाँ ठहरी हुई थी। तो उसी समय एक ही समय बलराम जी के जो दो स्वरूप ओरिजिनली जो बलराम जी हैं वो तो रोहिणी के गर्भ में प्रकट हुए और उनके विस्तारित स्वरूप देवकी के गर्भ में प्रकट हुए और बाद में भगवान ने योग माया से कहा कि वो देवकी के गर्भ में से उसको रोहिणी के गर्भ में स्थानांतरित कर दें। तो इस तरह से जो है बलराम जी प्रकट हुए और कृष्ण और बलराम दोनों ने बहुत नंद महाराज के आंगन में अनेक लीलाएँ की और बलराम जी भगवान श्री कृष्ण के हर रस में सेवा करते हैं, शांत रस में गोलोक धाम के रूप में और उनके मुकुट और उनके आभूषण और उनके जूते और उनके बिस्तर के रूप में, दास्य रस में वो भगवान की सेवा करते हैं, उनके लिए प्रसाद ले आते हैं, सख्य रस में उनके साथ नाचते हैं, गाते हैं, खेलते हैं और वात्सल्य रस में वो बड़े भ्राता होने के कारण वो कई बार उनको समझाते हैं और माधुर्य रस में उनकी लीला करने के लिए वो अनंग मंजरी के रूप में श्रीमती राधा रानी की छोटी बहन के रूप में प्रकट होते हैं। और इस कलयुग में श्री बलराम जी जो है नित्यानंद प्रभु के रूप में प्रकट हुए हैं। जगाई और मधाई ने तो इतने सारे अपराध किए थे कि ये सब असुरों से भी ज़्यादा उन्होंने अपराध किए थे लेकिन वो बड़ी कृपापूर्वक जो है उनको भगवत प्रेम प्रदान करते हैं। तो सबसे अच्छा तरीका यही है उनको सेवा करने का कि तिनके से ज़्यादा नम्र होकर हम भगवान का नाम लेवें। हरे कृष्ण।
Damodar Pandit Prabhu and some of the brahmacharis performed that drama where Sachi Devi, the mother of Sri Chaitanya, was worshipping Krishna and Balaram in a dream and she saw Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya come before them and Nityananda Prabhu said to Balaram that you, Balaram and Krishna, you step down from the altar. This age of Kali Yuga, it is Nitai Gauranga. They give mercy to all souls. Balarama hoy le Nitai. Balarama appears in this age of Kali as Nityananda Prabhu.
Aha Prabhu Nityananda, Premananda Suki. कृपा पालो कान करो आमी वादो दुखी।
Nityananda Prabhu was always intoxicated in the blissful joy of prema, pure love of God. And by his example and his words, he is teaching us all how to enter into that realm of divine love. By raising our arms, dancing, and joyfully and sincerely chanting the holy names.
For further details of this cassette, please contact Radhanath Swami Tape Ministry, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Address is 7 KM Munshi Marg, Chowpatty, Bombay 400007, India.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama